This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise BizBytes. First of all, Sabrina, thank you for the news. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Arvind Yuvraj,
Majida Hashim.
And over here on the other microphone is
Kashmira.
That's our intern. It is today is her last day. That's her first time ever on radio. Won't be her last. I might be interrupting her in a little bit as well to ask her a few questions. But before we move further along, if you want to get in touch with our show, do get us on Twitter. We are at BFM Radio. And if you want to get us on WhatsApp, it's 018-789-8899. Of course, we'll be with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon if you want to get in touch. Stories we have lined up for you today. Of course, it is Fun Friday, so we've got some fun stories. Majida has decided to grace us with a story about
urinals.
Indeed.
It's a good start.
Good start, right?
That's how we start off things.
Arvind, you'll be talking about a Facebook questionnaire. I'll then be moving on to Steam and how they've stopped using Bitcoin for their purchases. Then on to something that I think we could all do with. It is
the off button for your internet.
The off button for the internet.
Just in time for the weekend, right?
Just in time. Perfect. And then we're going to be wrapping up with how Google's AI mastered all the chess knowledge in history. And then, of course, some podcast suggestions for you to check out over the weekend. So, Majida.
Yep.
You have a story about urinals.
Yeah. So you guys.
Wait. I mean, you know when you're searching through the news stories in the morning, right? And you're kind of editing in your head as to what you want to talk about. Mm. How did you manage to? I don't know.
It's Fun Friday. It's one of those things that when you pop up, it's a clickbait. It's like men's, you know, urinals and all. It's like, okay, I'm going to click that.
Men's urinals are never clickbait. Like what? Who's clickbait is like men's urinals?
When urinals appear on the tech section or something, you're going like, huh, that's pretty interesting. Because you've guys heard about those high-tech, fancy Japanese toilets, right?
Yes, of
and
course.
Those are really, really cool. It's got lights and music and it does things and all. Mm-hmm. So I thought this would be pretty interesting. And it is. The thing is called Mr. Friendly.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
It is a Dutch startup and they have invented a smart urinal. It is a urinal with a small screen on top that companies can manage remotely to serve ads to customers. The Mr. Friendly urinals are not dumb screens because they're equipped with sensors to detect when you are taking a leak and then show you ads when you are taking a leak because it's a smart urinal. It knows when you are using it.
Does that mean there's a camera pointed at you?
I was going to say that. Right? Yeah, the same thing. Yeah.
That's what worries me.
I think there are sensors around to know that, you know, you are doing it, lah.
The same ones that know. Never mind. You know, when you walk away and it flushes automatically.
Yeah, a very similar
kind of thing. Okay.
So the company's pitch is that the urinal is guaranteed to capture 40 seconds of a gentleman's attention, noting that the best time to serve someone an ad is when that person cannot escape to do anything else and can only focus on the message.
Do we not have any privacy anymore? Is this where they are putting our advertisements now?
It's pretty interesting because the ad itself is controlled using a cloud control center. So everything is stored up in the cloud. It manages the ad for you, including when it will appear. Advertising with Mr. Friendly is also pretty interesting because it can detect how much, how many times your ad is viewed, and you only pay for when your ad is viewed. So if you are an advertiser and you want to guarantee that somebody there is standing for 40 seconds and cannot run away and cannot move anywhere else and is stuck there staring, and you only want to pay for that, this sounds like a pretty interesting.
Oh dear.
Yeah, you know what's the competition for this kind of thing? Like, you know, when you walk in and then people have like these full blown like conversations at the urinal, like they're having like meetings there with each other.
Our boss does that, you know. He does.
I have nothing more to say. It's fine to have meetings in the bathrooms and stuff.
So some of the interesting pictures, which is also on Mr. Friendly's website, it says that you can entice your customer with delicious food and drinks and make it look really tasty so that when he goes back to his table, he will order it.
It's on
the website itself.
No, that's not going to work for me.
And you can also inform your customer who's waiting for his lunch about dinner specials.
Definitely not.
Yeah, no. Don't show like, oh, twisties, you know, $2.90 or whatever.
Two hot dogs for the price of one. Yeah, definitely not.
You lose your appetite the moment you see something in the bathroom.
I don't think it's twisties, but at least for that shop, that restaurant itself, let's say you go somewhere nice and you're not too sure what to order, you go and take a trip and you come back.
Let me ask you a question then. Let's say, for example, we change it around a little bit and you are sat on a urinal. urinal and you close that door and there's a little tiny LCD screen. You know,
we have those.
You already have those.
Behind bathroom doors, you have all those poster advertisements. Right. That you have to. The thing about when
normally
you
in a man's room, it's just graffiti. You know.
Yeah. Very specific.
The difference between when you, a girl goes and you close the door behind you, you're not even going to look at the door. You take out your phone and you do things there, right? Oh. But if you're at the urinal, you cannot use your hands. I assume. So your eyes would tend to wander and look like, where do I look? I don't know about the your neighbors, but then or else you're stuck with that screen or the wall in front of you.
Trust me, as a man, if you're looking anywhere else apart from straight forward, there's something wrong, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just you know, point blank focus.
Exactly.
So it's a perfect place to put an advertisement.
In your opinion, as men are like,
it's kind of creepy because if you have other people in the advertisement, you don't want like someone staring at you from the LCD, telling you use like Febreze or whatever. you know what I mean? It's like it's a very creepy thing.
It's interesting though, but I see this rolling out. Although there are people who have cited this. Mr. Friendly urinals around the world already. Interestingly, it did not work when they did find it. But when it does work, I mean, you can't help it, lah. It's going to be there, lah.
All right, moving on. Can we move away from this story for a second? Right, we've got to move on to a different story because I need to get this out of these images out of my head right now. If you want to get in touch, we are on Twitter, of course, at BFM Radio. Moving on to something from social media. Facebook's new Did You Know feature asks you to answer icebreaker questions.
Yeah, so they have a new button. I think it's like it's on your profile. And then Facebook starts to ask you like these cute questions. It's like a Did You Know kind of question thing. And they're using it as an icebreaker. So they say that you can share icebreakers about yourself. There's the ability to cycle through several different prompts until you land on the one that you like. And if you choose to answer one, it'll be posted as a text status with a colored background under a new category called Answer a Question on Facebook. It's kind of like it's just above your status on your mobile or on your desktop as fun facts or did you know section about yourself. Some of the questions are presented and are pretty like straightforward, like if I could pick any gift to receive today, I would pick. And then some are just like simply weird. I think it's something like a party trick or like party questions to get to know people. You know, that you ask them like weird questions to get the conversation started and stuff. Some samples are like, if I could choose to be an amazing painter or a brilliant mathematician, I would rather be. The best thing about the internet is. I don't want to know the answer to that question. The best dance move of all time is, and if I had to be locked for a week in a room that was completely dark or completely bright, I would rather what?
Right.
Yeah. So the thing is, people found out like why they started asking these questions. Facebook very recently acquired TBH, or To Be Honest, which is an iOS app. And the app allows you to send pre-written compliments to friends based off prompts like who has the best smile, stuff like that.
Huh.
Yeah. And they bought it because they said that they were interested in the way that TBH was building a community using polling and messaging, which is something that Facebook sort of experimented with their polls function on Facebook itself. They did a bit of digging and investigation, and the information, I think it's a news portal, they said that Facebook is doing this because there are fewer and fewer personal updates on Facebook lately.
It's normally check out this news story,
Okay. So it's become more like a platform for boosted brand posts and stuff. It's either companies or brands or videos from studios and stuff.
But surely that's Facebook's own fault for starting that ball game.
Because they opened the advertising gates and stuff. So now people are putting less personal updates on Facebook, so they want people to start sharing more about themselves because I think it's becoming less human.
What do you think?
I don't know. To me, if you have this kind of questions and all, it does. It reminds me of those dating sites where you have all these personality tests and if I would do this and this, and they will match you depending on if your answers are in sync with each other. I see them creeping maybe into one of those personal spaces.
Yeah, it just feels a bit weird. I mean, if you've been on Facebook for like decades, like some of us, you know, answering questions like this is something that you would do very, very early on, even if you do it back then.
Yeah.
So doing it now seems a little bit lame, I suppose.
I think Facebook started with this mechanism, like even back then. That's what it started as. Right? It was like a college thing, like a college book thing where you could find out about if this or that person was single, if they were seeing anyone. So it did start like a dating app.
Right.
And I think now they're going back to that because they want people to sort of socialize on the platform. Because if you take away the socializing thing, then you lose Facebook's signature feel, you
right,
know,
right.
It's the whole thing about sharing statuses and stuff.
Yeah.
If it just becomes like a brand page, then it's completely advertising.
I mean, I know there are people that very rarely use Facebook, you know, particularly people who are younger. I mean, speaking of people who are younger.
Or people have no Facebook at all.
Kashmira, who is our intern who will be leaving today, you don't have a Facebook account, right?
I do.
You do
now?
I was told that you didn't.
No, I do. I do have a Facebook account.
Oh, all right. Then, all right.
How often do you post?
I don't post at all.
At all?
At all. I only use it for BFM.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, see?
Right. Got it.
Yeah, it's the thing that because a lot of people don't post it anymore because it's something for the young parents' generation.
Yeah.
I think
the
parent generation went into Facebook, so now everybody has their parents on it anymore. That it doesn't become so sexy anymore.
It's not cool anymore.
Yeah.
My whole family is on Facebook.
Are they?
Yeah, see?
Yep. I think my dad at one point had 3 accounts, you know. No joke.
And you know, the only 3 accounts that you know of.
Yeah. That's scary. That's a scary thought. Right. We've got to take a break. We've got some more music coming up. First off, what's the track?
David Bowie, Rebel Rebel.
There we go. Thank you very much. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Because feelings matter. BFM 89.9.
Back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. Sorry, Joe, but it is in fact Friday here in this studio. I don't know about in his studio, but here it is Friday. Anyway, my name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Arvind Yuvraj,
Majida Hashim.
And quickly, we have
Kashmira.
She's with us all the way through until 1 o'clock as well. We might be embarrassing her at some point and just getting her to kind of pitch in and say hello every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, story about Bitcoin related stuff. You may have been looking at the roller coaster of the prices over the last couple of days. So last week it was $11,000, then quickly went to 12, and then 14, and then 15.
That's 14 like yesterday, right?
Yeah, and then last night, just before I went to bed, it peaked up at $19,000.
So not even like a roller coaster, just like a jet taking off.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then today, this morning it dropped down to 16,000. Just before we came back from the break, it was at 16,889. And then just before I switched on the microphone, it went to 16,762.
Wow.
So volatility is the name of the game, of course, in Bitcoin. But this is a story related to Steam. And I don't know if you guys know what Steam is, but Steam is one of the most popular gaming services in the world. It has 67 million monthly active players, closely followed, closely behind Sony's PlayStation Network. And it's owned and operated by Valve. The company Valve. So in a blog post just on Wednesday, Curtis Chin, who's an engineer, he wrote that as of today, Steam will no longer support Bitcoin as a payment method on our platform due to high fees and volatility in the value of Bitcoin. This is a decision to halt Bitcoin payments. It doesn't seem to be related to the various controversies surrounding Bitcoin, such as whether it predominantly benefits criminals or is a massive energy drain, both of which we've spoken about in the past. But because it's skyrocketing value means higher transaction fees. So they began accepting Bitcoin back in April of 2016. So this is a quote of what he has to say. In the past few months, we've seen an increase in the volatility in the value of Bitcoin and a significant increase in fees to process transactions on the Bitcoin network. For example, transaction fees that are charged to the customers by the Bitcoin network have skyrocketed this year, topping out at close to $20 a transaction last week, compared to roughly 20 cents when they initially enabled Bitcoin just over a year ago. And Valve has no control over this transaction fee. And he's saying that if Bitcoin suddenly plunged in value, of course, that would create a whole bunch of more problems. So when checking out on Steam, a customer would transfer X amount of Bitcoin for the cost of a game, plus Y amount of Bitcoin to cover the transaction fee charged by the Bitcoin network. The value of Bitcoin is only guaranteed for a certain period of time. So if the transaction doesn't complete within that window of time, then the amount of Bitcoin needed to cover the transaction can, in fact, change. And this amount can change significantly, sometimes as much as up or down 25% in a matter of days. If we're watching things now, 25% it seems like nothing anymore. So at this point, it's become untenable to support Bitcoin as a payment option. They're going to reevaluate it a little bit later. But as things look right now, Bitcoin seems to be skyrocketing, you know, the fact that it flew up to $19,000 last night, and now the markets are quite quiet because most of the U.S. is asleep. But as soon as those guys wake up, I'm expecting it to go pretty high again today, you know.
Yeah, which is a bit frightening, no?
Because yeah, it is.
It keeps going up and up and up, and then it might burst.
That's the problem. Right?
But if Steam removes it and then it stabilizes, then they should bring it back.
I think they would, but like, you know, the discussion that we're having, the fact that it doesn't seem to be stabilizing and just is just going up and up and up and up.
It's exciting and scary at the same time,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, I've got friends who have invested a lot of money in it. You know, I have friends who have invested a little bit of money in it.
Yeah.
And last night when I was seeing it skyrocket, I managed to buy myself a small amount of it just before it skyrocketed. And I think I said to you, Majida, within 45 seconds, I'd made almost 900 ringgit just from one click.
Wow.
It's crazy, you know, but this is not going to continue. There's going to come a point where, you know, you can't do that kind of transaction because it will cost too much.
Yeah, but why is Steam, you know, like removing it? They're not incurring any cost.
Well, because let's say, for example, if one Bitcoin is worth $19,000 now and you purchase a game with it, you are paying a larger amount of money, right? If that suddenly drops down to 17,000 or 16,000, then that kind of exchange rate has altered. So you could be paying more or you could be paying less.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah. It's exactly like money. It's just
exactly
that if you
like
buy
money,
something in U.S. dollars, it's just that the U.S. dollars don't skyrocket and they don't spike here and they're like tomorrow.
But the higher the cost of the Bitcoin, the higher the transaction fee is. So the more it goes up, the more it costs you to actually use it as well.
So they're just looking after their customers because they make the same amount of money. It's not like they're bleeding anything.
Yeah.
But it's nice. I mean, they're looking after their customers. But in another side, the customer has the choice to buy or not buy using Bitcoin.
Correct.
If they have Bitcoin, then they should understand the risks of using Bitcoin to buy, right?
It's funny because, I mean, I was reading this morning and there was, I don't know if you've seen it, there's a subreddit called The Millionaire Makers, right? And it started off as a bit of a joke subreddit where you would join into this subreddit and you would put your name in there. And it was almost like a raffle where everybody chipped in a small amount of money or, you know, a cryptocurrency or whatever. And then somebody randomly who was a reader from that subreddit would then be selected and they would, you know, the money would go to that one person. Kind of like a charity thing, kind of like a raffle kind of thing. Some guy a few years ago, instead of putting in cash, put in Bitcoin and said, right, you guys, you know, I'll put in some Bitcoin. This was in 2015. That Bitcoin now to one person is worth $53,000.
Wow.
And this guy didn't even know he'd got it. He was like, can you please go and check your wallet right now? $53,000.
He didn't know the value.
Didn't know it at all.
But just sitting there. I mean, it's pretty interesting, but is there a limit to this? I guess that's what everyone is asking right now. How high can it go?
That's the speculation, right?
Yeah. There is an article I found by the Danish investment bank, Saxo Bank, and it says that it's going to hit 60,000 in 2018.
I would not be surprised at all.
What? Yeah, but if it does, then it bursts. Because if you have so much of value, then what's the point?
What's the value of it anymore, right?
If everyone's like a millionaire or billionaire, then there are no millionaires or billionaires.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
I think that was the original idea of Bitcoin in the first place, no?
You know who will be celebrating? There is that nasi lemak store, you can pay nasi lemak with Bitcoins.
Right.
Yeah. She must be like, you know, rolling in cash right now if she's collecting like one nasi lemak.
Right.
One coin per nasi lemak.
So when we first started this conversation, 4 minutes ago, the cost was 16,889, right? It's now 16,675. So it's dropped $200 almost in the last 4 minutes. That's how volatile it is.
I mean, just before we go on air, you were just reading it as it changes and he's just going on next and then next and then next and it's up.
Yeah.
Is it $20 more, $20 more, and then down, up, and down again?
All right. Some music coming up right now. We have a little bit of Duffy. It's called Tainted Love, right? Take this break. Kashmira, I forgot to give you the name of the song. We'll do it next, right? Go and say hello.
Hello.
There we go. All right. It is time for music. It is Duffy with Tainted Love. Do not go anywhere. You listen to BizBytes here on BFM 89.9.
Balanced Frank Medium. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Arvind Yuvaraj,
Majida Hashim,
Kashmira.
She's going to be with us all the way through until 1 o'clock, just like the rest of the couple of reprobates. I called you reprobates on air. It's Friday. I can do that. Fun Friday. Okay, so we've had stories so far. We started off with Majida's wonderful smart urinal. Then moved on to our Facebook questionnaires. We spoke a little bit about Steam and Bitcoin. Now, that wonderful thing called an internet off switch.
Yeah, so it's called the internet off switch.
Finally,
or the internet.
Right?
No. I mean, yeah, this guy, he's, okay, just to preface, he's like a complete hipster, the way he comes off this internet off button thing. It's interesting, but it's very, like, it's like the kind of people who leave Facebook for 2 weeks.
Oh,
it's that kind of
right.
thing, you know, yeah.
I'm,
yeah,
I'm taking a hiatus.
Yeah, hiatus, like, you know, to find themselves again, stuff like that. So the internet off button, it's a small black box that sits on the top right of your corner of your browser. When you click it, it turns any page on the internet into a serene tabula rasa. See, the words is like serene tabula rasa with no text and no images. So basically like opening up a new tab.
Yeah.
Which is already there, you know. It sounds like something silly, like a prank or like a joke, but the creator of this thing, his name is Joseph Ernst. He said that it's part of his art project called Nothing on the Internet. So his explanation is, I found I was spending so much time online, I would log into my computer, start searching for something, and resurface 2 or 3 hours later, this whole chunk of my life would be gone forever.
That's like everybody.
Yeah, it's, right. It's what everybody basically does when they use the PC. So he decided to make off button because he says that what happens if we reverse the process, strip away all the information, and leave the internet a bit naked to let you explore some digital landscapes in a calm and serene way. It's a human's fight back against the algorithm.
Okay, right. You know, yeah. I see exactly what you mean about you calling him a hipster.
Thing.
Yeah, I get it. Why couldn't he just switch off his computer and look outside the window?
I don't know.
I think it's a compulsive thing. You tend to want to pick up your computer or your phone, maybe. I don't know whether this works on a mobile, but then you open it and it's like, oh, nothing. But it's a compulsion to want to check something.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. He says that, you see, the idea behind it is he found out about this thing. Like, he started to work on it when he had a slow internet connection. He was working somewhere where there was a slow internet connection. So he started taking screenshots of the websites that were loading. And they wouldn't load. So it's just like the white page.
Yeah.
And before they became like cluttered with any information. And he started to screenshot, save it into a folder. And then when he had all these screenshots in the folder, he started to appreciate the browsers without any information.
Wouldn't they all just be like a whole bunch of white screen screenshots?
Yeah. So essentially, he says that he wanted a way to freeze that moment before a website loads to give himself a break from it all.
That's just like Malaysian internet. You know, that's what it looks like the entire time.
The
you
prehistoric
know?
Ages yeah, yeah, of internet.
You click, you go to www.google.my and you sit there and you wait 5 minutes. You know, the screenshot.
The frame comes off first.
Exactly.
There's no data inside.
It's nothing. Nothing. We all know what it's like.
It's a I don't know. It's a plugin that he made. It's an extension for Safari and Chrome.
Okay.
And Firefox also, if I'm not mistaken. But it... No, Chrome and Safari. So it has... He says that it helps people sort of disconnect from the internet for a while if they want to get a chunk of their life back or whatever. And he says that it's also a project that he's doing in partnership with Sideline Collective, which is his bunch of colleagues. They also did this thing called Nothing in the News. So just like Nothing on the Internet, Nothing on the News, where they print versions of newspapers with no news in it.
Just the column boxes.
Yeah, just the column boxes. I don't know if they have pictures. It's just blank newspapers. So I guess he had problems with newspapers and then he has problems with the internet. So he made this internet off button. But the goal, he says, is to he doesn't recommend spending hours and hours on the web with no actual content on it. He said that just it's for once in a while when you want to get a breath of fresh air, you want to take a break, you just click your off button on the internet and then everything goes away.
Anybody feel like this fella's got too much time on his hands?
Yeah,
right?
But I think this would be a great prank. You know, if you know somebody who's on the internet all the time and it's like addicted to the internet, I have to read, I have to look at it, and that person has to not know about this black button. You click the black button and that person opens and there's nothing on the internet and that person sits there waiting. I think it's a great joke.
And nothing loads?
And nothing loading because you already have this thing and that person waits.
Yeah, but I mean, can you think of any use for this kind of thing?
No.
Like, you know, to have a button like this. It's just you either just close your browser or you just open up a new tab.
Yeah.
You know, when you open up a new tab, nothing's there. It's like it's empty. Yeah. So to have this extension makes little to no sense. He says that it is silly. He understands the humor in it. But he says, because I think in order to make sense of our lives, sometimes you just need to laugh at the idiocy of it all.
You know what I think people will do? They will have this thing, it's waiting to load and it's not loading, right? So what you do is you pick up your phone and you look at that screen.
That's what he's going
to
do.
And then you're going to have like two screens and you're waiting for one to load while you're looking at the other one.
Yeah.
All right, it's time for us to stop talking about the silly off button. I thought this was a genuine thing, you know.
It is a genuine thing. But would you have an extension like that if it just let you? Okay, what kind of extension would you have? Like to get you off the internet?
I would like something where I can click a button and it immediately gives me an image from NASA, maybe. you know, something like that. And I'm like, ooh, look at that. So pretty. That'll work for me.
Yeah. So it's a break from the digital to the real.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, something like that. Something like that. Then I can sit there going, see, I knew the earth was round the entire time.
But you're still looking at the internet. The internet can give you that now. Just Google image of Earth from NASA.
Yeah, exactly.
And you already get that.
I could do that. I could do that. Right. Time for some music. What have we got coming up, Kashmira?
Jet, She's a Genius.
That's right. That's all coming up right now. When we come back, final story of the day about in just 4 hours, Google's AI mastered all the chess knowledge in history. If that doesn't scare you, there's something wrong. And of course, some podcast recommendations that we think you should listen to this weekend. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes, final story of the day. My name is Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Arvind Yuvraj,
Majida Hashim,
Kashmir.
She's with us all the way through until 1 o'clock, another 15 minutes before we let her off the hook. Final story of the day is about, in less time than it takes you to drive from here to Penang, on a good day, Google's AI mastered all the chess knowledge in history. Right. So we know chess isn't an easy game by human standards, but for an artificial intelligence powered by a formidable, almost alien mindset, the trivial diversion can be mastered in just a few spare hours. So in a new paper, Google researchers detail how their latest AI evolution, AlphaZero, sounds like a video game.
Oh, the same thing.
Yeah, developed superhuman performance in chess, taking just 4 hours to learn the rules before obliterating the world champion chess program, Stockfish. In other words, all of humanity's chess knowledge and beyond was absorbed and surpassed by an AI in about as long as it takes to drive from here to Penang. After being programmed with only the rules of chess with no strategies, in just 4 hours, AlphaZero had mastered the game to the extent it was able to beat the highest-rated chess-playing program. So in a series of 100 games against Stockfish, AlphaZero won 25 games whilst playing as white with the first-mover advantage and picked up 3 games playing as black. The rest of the contests were draws, with Stockfish recording no wins and AlphaZero no losses. So here's a quote. We now know who our new overlord is, said chess researcher David Cramley, the CEO of chess science website Chessable. It will no doubt revolutionize the game, but think about how this could be applied outside chess. This algorithm eventually could run cities, could run continents, could run universes, and it's been developed by Google's DeepMind AI lab. It's been slightly tweaked. It's a more generic version of the AlphaGo Zero, which specializes, as we know, in playing the Chinese board game Go. And they've been refining this AI for years, in this process, besting a series of human champions who fell like dominoes before the godlike neural network. And this whole victory streak started in October. And now, obviously, we're looking at this thing now. And this is... I feel almost a sense of pride that some little piece of machinery in a little black box somewhere has managed to just obliterate every human chess player ever.
In four hours. How old is chess?
Hundreds and thousands of years old. It's a very old game.
I mean, 1997, that's when Deep Blue defeated Gary Kasparov for the same time. I thought that was a huge deal at that time, right? That was everywhere.
Yeah.
And now it's learning things in 4 hours without any strategy at all, just the rules.
Yeah.
I think the application is interesting because we talk a lot about self-driving cars and autonomous vehicles and things like that. And all we've got to do is program the rules. They'll figure it out what would be the best route or what would be the best course of action should they be a big congestion, for example.
Yeah.
And if they are able to apply the rules into strategy, they could surpass us of things that we've never thought of.
There is no could. There is will.
Or they already have in some way or another.
4 hours, that's kind of terrifying in a way as well.
Yeah, you know what they're going to use it for, right? I mean, war.
Of course.
It's always war. It's always like, that's why Alan Turing's machine.
Yeah.
I forgot what the name of the... he was hired to figure out what the Germans were doing, isn't it? He was going to decipher their codes and stuff. So, of course, it's going to be used for war. Like one country versus another country and then go against their strategies and stuff like
that. The AI of one country versus the AI of another country.
Yeah. So we'll basically be strategizing war by using PCs that can figure out each other's strategies and stuff.
There's a movie about that made in the 1980s, 83, 84. It's called War Games. Funnily enough, about two computers that go to war.
Mm. Mm. Have you ever beaten chess on your PC, like the old ones when we had like Ski Free and stuff?
I'm
like
going to pretend to say yes, but no.
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 Have you ever beaten chess on
PC? I don't play chess on the PC because I lose all the time and I realize that I don't want to play with you anymore.
Yeah. Because you can't.
I don't want to play with
you. I don't
want to
play because I never win. Even on, you have those modes, right? Yeah. Easy, intermediate, then advanced. I lose on easy.
Have you ever won, Arvin?
No. I haven't won chess. I've never won Ski Free. I've never won
Solitaire?
Not even Mindhunter?
Mindhunter, you ever won
Mindhunter or Minesweeper?
Minesweeper, sorry.
Never won that. So even like back then, like the mid-90s and stuff, if you couldn't win like these basic games, then what chance do we have against Alpha Zero?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got to wrap up for the day, but quickly we'll run through the stories and give you some podcast suggestions before telling you what's on the Breakfast Grill replay. So the stories we started off with.
We started off with the very fun urinal that will give you advertisements, that will give men advertisements in a situation where they cannot run away from.
Yeah.
Well, you could, but you could. I'm going to leave it. Carry on.
Maybe you should put Facebook's questionnaire on that.
How are they going to respond?
Pressure sensors. Yes or no? You know, you just aim at no. Aim at never mind.
We spoke about Facebook's new questionnaire where they're asking you to fill in answers to like icebreaker sort questions.
We then spoke about how one of the world's biggest video game services, Steam, has stopped accepting Bitcoin because it's too volatile.
Yeah, then we spoke about the internet off switch, which is a button on your browser that just blanks everything out.
Indeed, and then we wrapped up within just 4 hours how Google's AI mastered all the chess knowledge in history. So, they're the stories we've covered today. If you've missed any part of the show, please do head over to the App Store, the Apple App Store, and download the app from there, or, of course, on Google Play. And if you're old-fashioned, www.bfm.my/podcasts. Mm-hmm. Speaking of podcasts, any recommendations for this week?
Yeah, on Wednesday, 6th of December, there was an enterprise program called Young and Mighty. The guest was Henry Patterson. Henry is 13 years old, and he runs a foundation called Young and Mighty. I think Christine did this interview.
Yeah.
The description of it is basically some people are just born with an entrepreneurial spirit. At the tender age of 13, Henry Patterson speaks about his foundation, Young and Mighty, as well as his previous endeavors and how he intends to expand even further in his business pursuits.
Lovely.
And then I also did an interview earlier this week with Ahida Zanetti, who is the founder and creator of The Bikini. The podcast is called Free and Modest. And you would have, a lot of people have impression about The Bikini that, oh my God, it's so conservative and all these stories around the stereotype of it. Actually, Ahida is an extremely interesting person. Her podcast is hilarious. A lot of stories about a real founder and what she goes through. I highly recommend looking at Free and Modest. It's a very entertaining, very knowledgeable person.
Lovely stuff. Right, that's all we have time for today. But before we go, don't forget, coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. Recently, Minister in the Prime Minister's Department, Datuk Paul Lowe, announced that a new department will be set up to elevate the existing Integrity and Good Governance Division under the Prime Minister's Department. However, several objections were voiced out by various parties, including the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission themselves, who feel that resources could be used elsewhere. In conjunction with International Anti-Corruption Day, the Breakfast Grill spoke to the department's director, Zaida Mohamed Essa, to find out about the role her department will play in the fight against the systemic problem. Right. So, we have Kashmira in the studio with us, of course. It is her final day. Kashmira, thank you very much for all the hard work that you've put in over the last few months. And we just wanted to say thank you. As a way of saying thank you, I want you to introduce the final song of the show for today. What is it?
Iron Butterfly, Inagara Davida.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, right.
Got it.
Well
first,
done.
First
well
round.
Done. It is time for us to say goodbye. Have yourselves a lovely weekend. Of course, we will be back on Monday. For some of you who've got a holiday, you lucky, lucky people.
Mm-hmm. I wonder who.
Some of us have to work. Anyway, it has been Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Arvin Yuvaraj and, of course, Majida Hashim and Kashmira, we will say goodbye. We will be back on Monday here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.